Brother Gino, I want to thank each and every one of you once again for joining me for the Pastor's Study today. Last time we were together, we began a study entitled Characteristics of Those who have been with Jesus. And we looked at the first part of our study. People who have been with Jesus are faithful to God. And we looked at several, three points under that. The second part or main part that we want to see is people who have been with Jesus are filled with the Holy Ghost. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, once again for the opportunity to come to teach and preach out of your preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant words, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the King James Bible. I pray that you'd bless the listener. I pray that their hearts and minds would be attentive to the message. And Father, I pray that you'd take your words and minister to each of us individually as we need to be ministered to. And if we accomplish anything, it'll be because of you, Lord, and we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory. And it's in your Son Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. So people who have been with Jesus are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse number 8. Let's read there. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So we see Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now we see that the fullness of the Holy Spirit was evident from their words. We see the word they spake, amen, they spake the word of God with boldness. Boldness refers to all out spokenness, someone that's outspoken, frankness, bluntness, publicity, and it implies assurance of what's being said. Our witness for Christ should be with boldness and come across to the listener that we believe what we say. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, In hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Paul said to the believers at Thessalonica, he wrote to them in the first epistle, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, we read, Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So our witness should be with boldness and come across to the hearer that we believe what we say. We see that the fullness of the Holy Spirit was evident from their witness. Looking in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus told his disciples, But ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. We see there then their power, their witness was in the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what our witness should be, not in the flesh. If you have, I've witnessed in the flesh and it's been disastrous. Nothing's happened. But when you witness in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the boldness of the Holy Spirit, amen, look out, my friends. We see that the fullness of the Holy Spirit was evident from their works. Looking in Acts chapter 4, verse 14. Acts 4, verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You see that? They could say nothing against it. When the people see what we say we have done for the Lord, amen, is the power of God evident in it? Here it was. People knew that God, only God, could have healed this man. Amen. And that's what people need to see. Whatever that you and I have accomplished for the Lord, have done for the Lord, is through His power. Is that evident? Do people see that? That it was only through the power of God that you and I were able to accomplish what we did. So, we've seen so far, people have been with Jesus. One of the characteristics, they are faithful to God. The second one we just looked at is, people who have been with Jesus are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And nowhere here did we see the filling of the Holy Ghost with any speaking in tongues. Amen. Or any gibberish. Amen. The third thing we want to see, the third characteristic of someone that has been with Jesus, people who have been with Jesus do what they do in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse number 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Amen. He did what he did. Amen. Peter did and John did what they did in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in their name. Amen. Not to bring attention to them. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of these so-called faith healers today, and that's all they are, so-called, amen, bring attention to themselves. Puff themselves up. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, in verse number 10, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Again, they reemphasized it was by Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, that this man was healed. Amen. To do something in the name of Jesus, my friend, you first have to be in Jesus. Saved by grace through faith. Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." So you see, Paul is saying the only reason a Christian can triumph is because he's in Christ, or he's saved. See, you're either in or out. If you're saved, you're in Christ. If you're not saved, you're out of Christ. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Again, the reason Christians are blessed with all spiritual blessings is because they're in Christ. Amen. They're saved, in other words. They're born again. Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So, he saved us, he's given us a holy calling, not according to our works, what we've done, but according to God's purpose and His grace. And we have been given God's purpose and God's grace because we are in Christ. We're saved. And God did all of this. He had this plan, this purpose for us before the world even began. Amen. To do something in the name of Jesus, you have to do it according to His will. Amen. So you better watch out for the name it and claim it crowd. God is not a big Santa Claus up in the sky granting our wish list. You see, this is about Him and His will and not about us. We are to get our lives in tune with God and know what He wants. And then we pray according to His will. Notice, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus tells us, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Amen. He said, "I will do it." No ands, ifs, or buts. But you have to do it according to God's will. Gospel of John, chapter 16. Verse 23, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." Amen. He will give it you if you ask in Jesus' name according to God's will. 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." So we can have confidence, amen, that the God will hear us if the condition is if we ask the thing according to God's will and not our will. Amen. So that may be why God is not hearing you, because whatever you're asking for is not in God's will for you. You know, God promised to meet your needs, not your wants. You may want this, that, or the other thing, but He knows exactly what you need, not what you want. Because what you want sometimes may be harmful to you and me. And that's why He doesn't give it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes He gives us, if you live a pleasing, in a way that's pleasing in His sight, He does sometimes give us the desires of our heart. Amen. But He knows what's best for us. And we need not to pout and complain and say, "Why didn't God do this for me or do that?" Amen. Because it probably wasn't according to His will. Amen. To do something in the name of Jesus, you have to do it for His honor and His glory, my friend. Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. In His name, through faith, in His name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him his perfect soundness, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See? So this man's healing wasn't to bring honor and glory, amen, to Peter and John, but to Jesus Christ, to the Father. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you hold. See, they gave the credit where the credit was due, amen. Unfortunately, most Christians give themselves credit instead of giving God credit. Amen. If anything's accomplished in your life and my life, amen, it's because God did it, not you or I. God doesn't need you and I. Amen. But praise God that he uses us and allows us to work for him. You know, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I'll be the first one to admit it. Without Jesus Christ, I'm a big, fat zero. I'm nothing. Amen. And amen. And amen. So you see, Peter and John were not out to make a name for themselves. But their desire was to lift up the precious name of Jesus. So God is to get the glory and the honor, not you and me. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. We read in the scriptures, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To him be glory. Not you and I. Amen. See? Devil's going to say, well, you know, when are you going to get into the honor and glory? We're not. That's not our purpose down here. It's to bring him the honor and glory. So he gets the honor and glory. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. We read, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Only the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, is worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor and glory and blessing. Not you and I. See? People who have been with Jesus, we've seen so far, are faithful to God. People who have been with Jesus are filled with the Holy Ghost. People who have been with Jesus do what they do in the name of Jesus. And then finally, we want to see people who have been with Jesus are in one accord with others who have been with Jesus. Again, let me say that. People who have been with Jesus are in one accord with others who have been with Jesus. Look in Acts chapter 4, verse 24 with me. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. One accord. And they were one accord because they had been with Jesus. Looking in verses 32 and 33 of Acts 4. And the multitude of them that believed, notice now, were of one heart and of one soul. And neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The prophet Amos said in Amos 3, chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they agree? No, they can't. Amen. There's just no way. Amen. Look with me in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 in verse number 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Fulfill ye my joy." And how did he tell them to do that? To fulfill ye my joy. "That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." And the only way you can do that, amen, is to be in one accord with other people who have been with Jesus. So people who have been with Jesus are in one accord with others who have been with Jesus. And if that's the case, something will get accomplished in the church. Amen. But otherwise, nothing. Oh, it may look like it's going and things are happening, but it's all in the flesh, let me tell you, and it's not of God, and God's not getting the honor and glory. Amen. See, there's a lot of fakers out there, let me tell you. Gospel of John chapter 13 with me. John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, I want us to look at verses 34 and 35. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this," in other words, loving one another, "shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Amen. So that's what Jesus was talking about. Being of one accord, of one mind. Unity and harmony of one spirit. That's one of the themes throughout the New Testament for the church. Amen. If anything's going to be accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be, people in the church have to be of one accord, of the same mind, the mind of Christ. Amen. Show they're the Lord's disciple by having love one for another. Amen. And that's a characteristic that you've been with Jesus, that you are of one accord with others who have been with Jesus. As we conclude this study, the characteristics of those who have been with Jesus, I ask you this question. Can anybody tell you've been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? Are you faithful to God? Faithful in your prayer life? Faithful in your witness? Faithful in your message? Amen. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and it should be evident from your words, it should be evident from your witness. It should be evident from your works. Do you do what you do for God in the name of Jesus? In order to do that, first of all, are you in Jesus? Are you saved? Amen. Are you saved? Are you born again? Has there been a point, a time in your life where you realized that you were a sinner? Amen. As the Word of God says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that you realize the result of your sins, that you would die and go to hell. There's a payment for your sins, for the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but more importantly, your eternal soul, which has all its five senses, will spend time in eternity, even in either in a lake of fire in heaven. And that you realize that you're a sinner, you're going to die and go to hell, but then also you believed the Word of God, which said that, amen, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And also, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, look at Romans 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Was there a time in your life that you knew you were a sinner, that because of your sin you were going to die and go to hell? But also you realize that Christ died, he died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day to pay for your sins. Have you received Christ by faith into your heart, believing that? Have you cried out to him, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? God says, anyone that comes to him, he will in no wise cast them out. If you've never come to Christ, won't you come today? Confess your sins. Confess you're a sinner. Ask Jesus Christ to save you and to forgive you for your sins. Do you do what you do for God in the name of Jesus? Are you in Jesus? Do you do it according to his will or your will? Do you do it for his honor and his glory? There's a lot going on today in the churches, let me tell you, and I've been in a few of them. What's going on is not for his honor or for his glory. It's for man's honor and for man's glory, for the preacher's honor and the preacher's glory. So he can go to a preacher's fellowship and tell people all the great things that he has done. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get so many periodicals that come across my desk. I won't mention them by name, but I'm sure some of you receive them. And all it does is it goes on, it struts, it elevates the flesh and what man has accomplished and so forth and so on. That's not the way God would have you do it. You do it for Jesus. You do it to bring him honor and glory. Do you do it in faith, trusting God for results? Amen. Do you do it? Amen. Do you do it trusting God for results? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then finally, are you in one accord with others who have been with Jesus? You know, there's a cancer in the church today. People fighting over the stupidest little things. Church is splitting, not over doctrine, but because of the stupidest little things. You know, someone didn't shake my hand. Preacher didn't say hello. Preacher preaches on sin. He preached on my sin. He's mean and he's ugly. Amen and amen. If you're not in a church, first of all, that the preacher doesn't believe the book, the King James Bible, then I would leave. And I believe if he believes the book, then he's going to preach on and against sin. And if he isn't doing that, then he isn't worth his powder. Leave the church. Amen. Well, our time has come again to a close. Again, this study, Characteristics of Those Who Have Been With Jesus, again, is available on audio cassette tape, and at the end of the broadcast, the young lady will tell you how you can reach me through mail. Amen. Again, we have a catalog of all our studies. You can request that free catalog today, and again, that address will be given to you shortly here at the end of the study. Again, it's been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes or wherever you're listening. I never take it for granted. It's just another blessing to be with you this day. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.